Dun 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 dun. Certainly not. It certainly is not news, as we've all come to learn through this interesting experiment of reading the tabloids. Lots of erms and ahs, as usual. What is it today? I'm looking for the date. Oh, it's Thursday, the 14th of March, 2024. I'm holding in my hand a copy of the Sydney Morning Herald and, of course, the Australian, as per usual. I toyed with the idea of buying the Daily Telegraph. It just looks shit and I can't be bothered. And I think it's quite interesting because, although exactly the same news is pretty much in the two papers, I think the Sydney Morning Herald and the Australian obviously see things through a slightly different lens. So I think it's worth doing. Anyway, I've got the electricians here, and I think I can hear my mother-in-law talking to my wife in the background, and I've left the window open so that it's not too echoey. So at some point, someone might come over and ask me a question. So I'm going to go really quickly. Okay, right, we've got one of those Harvey Norman paid double front pages of the Sydney Morning Herald. Not even going to look at it. I'm going to turn the page to what would have been the original front page. And on here, we've got four headings. We've got Gazans have visas cancelled mid-flight. We've got passengers fear over speed. We've got Minns wants answers over GST. And we've got thousands stung if tolls double dip. So basically, to whiz through that, some Gazans and Palestinians on a flight to Australia had their visas cancelled mid-flight. They would come from Khan Yunis, one of the southern Gazan cities. I don't know why they had one of their visas. I couldn't be bothered to turn the page because it's not relevant to me whatsoever. I can't be much. Shall I read the page? Okay, let's do it. I'm going to turn to page 8. Okay, all right. I'll turn to page 8. Fuck's sake. Gazans have visas cancelled mid-air. Palestinians fleeing the world. Two Gazan women in Cairo said they were shocked to learn they could not board a connecting flight to Australia with their children after their visas were seemingly cancelled mid-air this week. I was devastated. I didn't know what I was supposed to do, said one of the women who asked to be known by the pseudonym Cassandra. Great hope, Cassandra. I'm just skipping through to see if it says why it was cancelled. The subclass 600 visitor visa allows temporary entry to Australia for up to 12 months. Great. A safe haven at the beginning of the war. Khan Yunis has since been bombarded by Israeli airstrikes. Boom, boom, boom. After being told she could not board the final leg of her journey, Cassandra said she was given the option of sending her children, who are aged 13, onto Australia without any parental supervision. All eventually boarded flights back to Cairo together with the children in tears. She said she was terrified about the future. So does it tell us why they were cancelled? I don't think it does. And I can't be bothered to read any more of that to find out because I don't really care. Passengers fear over speed. New details in the Hunter Valley bus tragedy. Oh, that was a bus crash that happened a long time ago that killed some people, a whole group of people that were on a bus going to or from a wedding in the Hunter Valley several years ago. And the man that was driving the bus has come out and said something that he's, you know, doesn't, that day doesn't go by that he doesn't think about it. Great. I mean, not great. It was a terrible incident, but I don't think that's newsworthy. Thousands stung if tolls double dip. That, we talked about that. They've just put that on the front cover again. We talked about that the other day. That was about charging motorists to go backwards and forwards on the, or southbound and northbound on the Sydney Harbour Bridge, because that would be fair. And obviously what they're saying is, well, it's not fair to charge the people that have to go southbound and not the people that have to go northbound. Well, everyone using a fucking bridge, unless they're driving the length of Australia, everyone using a bridge goes forward and backwards, goes across it and back the other way during a day, unless you're a fucking imbecile and you drive a car and then you walk back or you cycle back. So it's idiocy. So it's obviously double. It's not unfair. It's unfair that you'd be thinking of making people pay twice. It's unfair that you make people pay once, you fucking bunch of cunts. Haven't finished the first page. Minns wants answers over GST. Basically, the New South Wales Premier, Chris Minns, basically, the GST in Australia is not... So if you're paying GST, which is VAT in England and whatever it's called in America, if you pay GST in Australia at 10%... Oh, is GST 10%? Yeah, GST is 10%. You pay it in New South Wales, you would think that your contribution of GST that is getting paid in New South Wales is going to New South Wales, but no, it isn't. It gets divvied up as it gets totaled and then gets sort of, divvied up and given out to the different states. So New South Wales doesn't get all of the GST that New South Wales people pay. Another con. I'm going to whiz through this. Chalmers plays down hopes of revenue boost. Treasurer, this is so boring, I'm going to read one paragraph and that's it. Treasurer Jim Chalmers, didn't know that was the name of the Treasurer, is dampening expectations of a revenue surprise, delivering the government another record-breaking budget surplus, saying a softening economy and a falling commodity prices are hitting the nation. We'll read that again because it doesn't make any sense. Treasurer Jim Chalmers is dampening expectations, so he's playing down or saying, oh, it's unlikely to happen, dampening expectations of a revenue surprise, delivering the government another record-breaking budget surprise. So you, how can you dampen expectations of a revenue surprise? It's not going to be a surprise. Why don't you just say that you're dampening expectations of a surplus? Now, you don't need to put the word surprise in there because that makes the whole paragraph seem a little bit confusing. Anyway, not interested. Minister Miles asked on GST, said that already. Liars on campaign trail face fines. So that's basically the Albanese government is talking about fining politicians that in their campaigns make claims that presumably don't come true. Everyone, they all do that. I think they should go to fucking prison for it. Compulsory maths doesn't add up for some. The axing of a plan to make maths compulsory for the state's Year 11 and Year 12 students has been welcomed by teachers and mathematicians who say it was a top-down solution which would do little to fit student proficiency. The axing of a plan to make maths compulsory, so the axing of the plan to make maths compulsory has been welcomed. Great. Turn to the page. Thousands of drivers to be stung if tolls double dip. That's another page. We don't need to. You don't need to fill three pages of the paper to tell us about that. Unless, of course, you're trying to fill up the pages with words. English Health Service bans puberty blockers. A decision by England's Health Service to stop prescribing puberty blockers to children will fuel debate among Australian medical professionals about treating young people with gender dysphoria. My daughter is lovely and she likes jumping around with hobby horses and jumping over jumps. She's 12 years old. She likes jumping over jumps with hobby horses, pretending that she's riding a horse, right? That's really sweet. And at some point when she is older, she's going to go, oh, that was a little bit childish. I probably don't need to do that anymore. Those same age children are able to say that they think they don't want a vagina anymore and that they'd like to have a penis and they should be a boy. It's total madness, but fits in nicely with the devil-run world that we live in. Bill to ban gay conversion practices likely to be divisive. Former Pentecostal preacher Anthony Venn Brown has spent decades supporting people who were told they were broken and needed fixing. But it was an email from a young gay man called Matt that really reinforced to Venn Brown how dangerous and deadly gay conversion practices can be. You're trying to convert someone back to heterosexuality if they're gay is also bonkers. Bus crash driver was coming in hot. Passengers on the bus that crashed in the Hunter Valley, killing 10, gripped each other with fear. When was it? Rolled over June 23. Okay, it's not really. I'm not that interested. Police media head dismissed in Le Mans condon furor. The police media head apparently didn't handle the story about the two gay men that were killed by the serving gay policeman. I couldn't be bothered to read that article. It didn't seem interesting enough. Gazans have visas cancelled mid-air. I'm going to skip through some paragraphs, see whether we can find out why that was again. Doesn't say. I can't keep that note. All right. Oh, no Russia-style Olympics ban for Israel. This is brilliant. Hang on, have I turned my fucking thing off? No. Okay. International Olympic Committee Vice President John Coates says the war in Gaza does not warrant the same Olympic sanctions for Israel as those imposed on Russia after it invaded Ukraine due to differences between the conflicts. Coates explained the IOC's position after the peak Olympic body recently rejected calls for Israel to be banned from the Paris Games this year in the same fashion as the Russian Olympic Committee. After it was excluded from competing as a nation of the 2022 Olympic due to doping violations, Russia was banned from Paris for its actions in invading Ukraine in 2022, 4 days after the Winter Olympics in Beijing. I don't think any sporting person should be banned from anywhere. And anyway, it's ridiculous. They ban Russia, and then, you know, Medvedev just competes with a blank thing instead of a flag there. So they don't ban them. They just take the flag off. And everyone knows, oh, the one without a flag, that's Russia or Belarus. So, yeah, let the Israelis be in the Olympics. That's fine. And let the Russians be in the Olympics. And then we'll all just watch, hoping that Israel gets beaten. Now, I'm only joking. That's anti-Semitic. Well, it's not, actually, because if I want Israel to get beaten, then that's fine. It's only sports. Gang impersonated police in armed raids, and people pretended to be police when they stole $10,000 in cash from a house. I'd say you probably know that was in there. Oh, Snook earns nomination for 26 parts in a stage play. This is from London. Australian actor Sarah Snook, who has stunned the West End with her one-woman performance in an Oscar Wilde classic, has joined an all-star shortlist of nominations for this year's Olivier Awards. I still don't know who this Snook woman is. Sarah Snook, still don't know who she is, and I don't want to know who she is. Oh, Louis Theroux has interviewed Germaine Greer, the sort of, you know, well-known feminist. She was apparently raped in Melbourne at the age of 19, saying she never knew the man's name and would have been mortified if he had gone to jail. I was really worried that he was mad. Anyway, okay. I didn't know she was raped when she was 19. Silent runnings on subs bring sinking feeling. Can't be bothered to read that. X-rated talk shouldn't be taboo. Something about Ben Affleck and J-Lo. Not interested. Prosecutor labels his Biden portrait necessary. The US prosecutor, who sparked a political storm by describing Joe Biden as an elderly man with a poor memory, is standing by his description, saying it was central to his decision not to charge the president over his handling of classified documents. So because he's an old man with a poor memory, he can't be charged over his handling of classified documents, but he can run. Well, he can theoretically be the face of America. I'm going to pause this because I've got the electrician running. I've unpaused it. Yeah, it's weird, isn't it, that you can't be sort of pursued over your handling of classified documents because you're too old and fucking senile and dribbling, but you can be the face of America and theoretically the most powerful man in the world. But it's not at all, because you're just the puppet, and that has proven the case of puppetry when it comes to US presidents. So anyway, I hope Trump does win, because he's much more amusing to listen to, though the whole thing is a fucking joke. Old rivals in race to White House. That's about President Joe Biden and Donald Trump. Can't be bothered to read it. Fusion of party and state cements Xi's grip on power. President Xi Jinping has spent the past decade building the Chinese state around him. This week, he formally removed his final obstacle, the power of the State Council. When Beijing opened its markets to the world in the 1980s, China's paramount leader Deng Xiaoping introduced the organic law to separate the Communist Party from the bureaucratic functions of government. Don't know what it means. Doesn't mean anything to me. Much more smarter or more interested people than me will know what that means. I don't care. It doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know anything about Chinese politics or communism or whatever's going on over there. I don't have a clue. Sorry. These are attacks on our election, says Putin. From Kyiv. The main goal of Ukraine's recent attacks on Russian regions is to interfere with the upcoming presidential election, President Vladimir Putin said in remarks published yesterday. The main goal, I have no doubt about it, is to, if not to disrupt the presidential elections in Russia, then at least somehow interfere with the normal process of expressing the will of citizens, Putin told Russia's REA state news agency. Putin, who launched a full-scale invasion of Ukraine 2 years ago, is nearly certain to win the March 15-17 presidential vote and secure another six-year term. Earlier, Ukrainian long-range drones smashed into two oil facilities deep inside Russia, officials said, while an armed incursion claimed by Ukraine-based Russian opponents of the Kremlin unnerved the border region. The attack by waves of drones across eight regions displayed Kyiv's expanding technological capacity. Great. Oh, Tate to be extradited. A court in Romania Australia's capital has granted a request by British authorities to extradite the divisive online influencer Andrew Tate, but only after legal proceedings against him in Romania have been concluded, his spokesman said. The Bucharest Court of Appeals decision came after Tate, 37, and his brother Tristan Tate were detained on Monday on arrest warrants issued by British authorities over allegations of sexual aggression in a UK case dating back to 2012-2015. The appeals court, where the Tate brothers appeared in handcuffs escorted by police, also ordered them immediately released. So, I mean, it's obvious that they're fucking with him because he's outspoken. Because if they were that bothered about historical sexual aggression allegations, surely they would be asking for the Jeffrey Epstein flight log and pursuing the people that fucked children. But obviously that doesn't matter. Does it? No, of course not. Massive, about 17 full page spreads on washing machines. Can't be bothered to read that. Labour's future minority report. I mean, the title is no way I'm reading that. Buckle up, stay put. That's the moral of the Latam story. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 columns. I don't need to read it, but what I'm guessing it's saying is if you're going to fly in an aeroplane, make sure you keep seatbelt on, because if the pilot loses control of the aircraft and it nosedives, you might smash into the ceiling. So moral of the story is keep your seatbelt on, even when the lights have gone off. To drive fairness on our roads, toll reform must gear up. About toll reform, not interested. Something else about fucking NINs, not interested. PwC slashes more staff in fallout from leaks scandal. Embattled consulting firm PwC is slashing its staffing levels again as it restructures a business that continues to get crunched by the fallout from the tax leaks scandal. Basically, in 2015, obviously PwC, which is sort of known, it's a tier one management consultancy, it's sort of known as a tax advisory business or a finance advisory business mainly, but it's got lots of other advisory divisions. In 2015, it was advising the government on tax legislation, and then some fucking idiot partner that worked at PwC back then decided to then tell its multinational company clients how to avoid the new tax scheme. I mean, how mad is that? It's fucking bonkers. And as a result, PwC ended up just recently cutting out their government practice, rebrand, or selling it to a private equity firm for $1, rebranding it as a business called Sign Advisory. But there's still some fallout, and of about 8,000 to 9,000 staff, they are letting go about 3, including more than 900, but I think about 300 to 400 people. Something about the companies in China, the property companies in China that went into sort of liquidation. A couple of the big Chinese property companies were allowed to go into liquidation, and one of them, something's happened to the other one, China Vank, whatever that means. I can't be bothered to read it either, sorry. Liontown lands $550 million loan despite lithium price crash. Two of Australia's biggest banks, the country's leading export credit agency and a clean energy financier, are backing billionaire Gina Rinehart's favourite lithium miner, Liontown Resources, with a $550 million loan, signalling confidence in a pummeled sector. Market swipes left on dating, something about Tinder and Bumble. Can't be bothered to read it. Oh, shall I read it? All right, someone might be interested. Facing huge financial losses in recent years, Tinder says it's rethinking the app's famous swipe feature as part of an overhaul in which new functions will be rolled over late this year. The dating app platform is almost pushing for more users to get verified. Whatever. Match Group and Bumble, which make up nearly the entire industry by market share, have lost more than $40 billion in market value since 2021. I shouldn't say the word like, but I'm going to say it. Like, what's wrong with you fucking men? You just now, you can't just, can't you just go up to women like in a fucking bar somewhere and talk to them? Like, are you really that fucking pathetic that all you can do is swipe on a fucking app? It's so depressing. Surely you must have friends that have got people they know, or you can just approach someone randomly and have a chat with them, not send them a dick pic, or the first fucking contact you make with a female is via text message. That means you're a fucking pathetic piece of piss. HBO's hit Bound for New Australian Streaming Home. A new streaming service will launch in Australia next year when US subscription platform Max launches as home to the likes of House of Dragons. Basically, it's another streaming service landing. Dating app search for a perfect match. Can't be bothered to read that anymore. Probe into Green Legal Group over bid to halt Santos gas project. Can't be bothered to read that. Beijing urges bank to bail out Chinese property giants. Sort of covered that. Finding a second family in retirement. This is about a lady whose kids moved interstate and sort of left her on her own, although her sisters did live close by, and she ended up moving into an old people's home. And she's now the longest running, sort of the longest resident of that care home, and I just think it's so depressing that you want to go into a care home. Don't your family want to look after you? Oh, come on, people. Tonight at 8:40 on Channel 10 is Gogglebox Australia. That's the end of that. That's the Sunday Morning Herald. And now we are on to the Australian, which of course is how many pages? I'm guessing 12. It's 12. The headings on the front page are crisis in the courtroom, justice not served in this territory, and then PM's peace of mind, not mine, peace of mind, is PM's peace of mind for 1.1 billion. Move over, boys. Women are taking their rightful place among wealthy top 10. And then we've got heading Brookfield talks to buy into Optus, and then we've got Contrick conspiracy sunk blue sky, and then we've got Reality Bites revenue forecast. So those are the headings on the front here. Crisis in the courtroom. Basically, this is an article about an Indigenous man in Alice Springs, elderly 79-year-old, whose grandson was facing drink driving charges and was kept for 11 days in a sort of holding cell. Now, that's really bad that you're kept in a holding cell for 11 days, but the fucking moral of the story is don't drink drive, and then you won't be in a holding cell for any days. Whether you're Indigenous, Aboriginal, Chinese, Australian, English, or fucking Nigerian. PM's peace of mind for 1.1 billion. Anthony Albanese will underwrite almost 1.1 billion in loans and grants to build a rare earth mine and refinery in the Northern Territory and support a major West Australian lithium mine, both backed by Australia's richest person, Gina Rinehart. The Prime Minister will announce an $840 million package on Thursday to deliver the nation's first combined rare earths mine and refinery operated by Australian mineral exploration company Arafura, which has spent decades trying to get the project off the ground. That's quite boring. Brookfield talks to buy into Optus, Australia's second biggest telco. Optus could be partially offloaded to Canadian private equity titan Brookfield in a blockbuster deal valuing the company at $16 billion. Right, that's as big as that paragraph. That doesn't need another 10 paragraphs. Move over, boys. Women are taking their rightful place among the wealthy top 10. Now, interestingly, the top 10 the wealthiest people in Australia are, number one, Gina Rinehart, who owns... I can't remember the name of her company. Oh, what's the name of the company that Gina Rinehart owns? The mining magnate lady? Oh, I can't remember. Sorry. Second, it's Andrew and Nicola Forrest, who own Fortescue Metals Group, FMG. Then there's Anthony Pratt family. Then there's Harry Triguboff. Then there's Mike Cannon-Brooks. Then there's Scott Farquhar. Then there's Clive Palmer. Then there's Kerry Stokes. And then there's Cliff Albrecht and Melanie Perkins. Right, Gina Rinehart... So move over, boys. Women are taking the rightful place among the wealthy top 10. Gina Rinehart inherited her wealth. I'm fairly sure. Well, Andrew Forrest. So Gina Rinehart is number one. She inherited her wealth. So she inherited that business from her father, I believe. Andrew and Nicola Forrest. Well, Nicola Forrest didn't set up the businesses that Andrew Forrest set up. Andrew Forrest is the guy that set up... Oh, anyway, I read about his sort of background. He started in finance. He was some trader. And then he bought some nickel mine. And then he ended up buying a company that then became Fortescue Metals Group. And his wife is Nicola Forrest. And they've been married for years. And they've separated... So presumably she has half of his wealth. And I know that she did set up a foundation, but she certainly didn't set up the business. So to lump her in with Andrew Forrest is a bit of a fucking stretch. And then at number 10 and 11 is Cliff Obrecht and Melanie Perkins. Melanie Perkins definitely does deserve to be on that list. I would say she's probably the richest, most deserving richest lady, because Melanie Perkins and Cliff Obrecht and one other guy are the two people that set up Canva, which is, if you've ever heard of Canva, I'd heard of it, but I wasn't sure exactly what it was. Canva is an online graphic design platform that allows users to create a wide range of visual content, including presentations, social media graphics, posters, flyers, infographics, and more. It offers an intuitive drag and drop interface along with a vast library of templates, stock photos, illustrations, icons, and fonts, enabling users to easily create professional looking designs. Right? So, and that's in the billions. It's not floated yet, I don't think. So she's definitely co-fucking founder of that business. Contrick Conspiracy Sunk Blue Sky. I can't be able to read it because none of it means anything to me. The short selling attack on Blue Sky Alternative Investments. Not interest, never heard of them. Something about Jim Chalmers declared an end to this stuff. Not it's so boring you'll fall asleep if I read it. And 9.9 billion cyber army activated. Cyber security agencies are on track to recruit up to 1,900 new staff under the 9.9 billion Red Spice program as the Australian Signals Directorate, that's the ASD, reports a lower workforce churn amid a surge in cyber defence activity. Australian Cybersecurity Centre head Abigail Bradshaw said the ASD was doing brilliantly in progressing the 10-year plan to double the country's cyber army as global threats posed by criminal gangs and Chinese, Russian and Iranian state-based actors intensify. It's funny, isn't it, how opposed by criminal gangs and Chinese, Russian, Iranian state-based actors intensifies. And you can guarantee that Australia and the US and the UK are doing exactly the same in the other direction. AHRC hits back at anti-Semitism jibe. Australian Human Rights Commission President Rosalind Croucher has declared that all racism is of equal concern after her organisation was accused of a false equivalence against the prevalence of anti-Jewish hatred and Islamophobia in the aftermath of the October 7th attacks. Emeritus Professor Croucher defended herself against criticism from Liberal MP Julian Lisa that the AHRC had gone AWOL since the terror attack, saying racist hateful incidents against the Jewish community were a source of alarm for the commission. Mr. Lisa, one of Parliament's most senior Jewish MPs, attacked the AHRC in a speech to the Cook Society on Wednesday, criticising the human rights body for failing to take a stand against racism and prejudice, arguing that it should be put on notice. Professor Croucher said the AHRC had been consistently active in condemning anti-Semitism, Islamophobia and other racism linked to the conflict, and had repeatedly called for human rights to be upheld both here in Australia as well as in Israel and Palestine. Racist hateful incidents against Australia's Jewish communities are of great concern to the Commission, she said. Suggestions to the contrary are untrue and harmful to those communities. All racism is of equal concern no matter which community is targeted. Professor Croucher said the AHRC had met with people and communities affected by the conflict and was working with the Jewish community and others to understand and address the racism directed to them. The Commission has also met and But of course, anything that is levelled at Jewish people is far worse than any other racism, because Jewish people have to be the most protected, because 100 years ago, in a land far, far away, some horrible things happened to them, and now we have to constantly hear about how fucking terrible and victimized they are whilst they are fucking ethnically cleansing an entire people because God told them they were allowed to. It's fucking ridiculous. Visa floor dates back to Gillard era. Can't read it. Top Cop gives her media chief the boot. Read it already. Something about Brookfield talks over Optus. Covered that. AUKUS deal still on track, says PM. That's the AUKUS, the AUKUS, which is a trilateral security partnership between Australia, the United Kingdom and the United States. The name AUKUS stands for Australia, United Kingdom and United States. The partnership was announced in September 21 and it aims to strengthen cooperation in various areas, including defence and security, particularly focusing on the Indo-Pacific region. One of the key aspects of the AUKUS partnership is the agreement to provide Australia with nuclear-powered submarines. This agreement caused significant diplomatic and geopolitical reactions, particularly from China, as it would significantly enhance Australia's maritime capabilities. Additionally, AUKUS involves cooperation in areas such as cybersecurity, artificial intelligence, sensors and other emerging technologies. So in other words, we have to fucking hitch our ride to America and the US because we're all part of the same shit. So constantly we're part of the bullies. We're part of the fucking devil nation. And sooner or later, we're going to have our fucking asses whooped. And hopefully it doesn't affect me out here living on this little property. And they can all just get on with it over there. Puberty blockers under fresh scrutiny. Covered that already. Plane plunge, the thing that fell out the sky. Something about some missing people in a flood in Western Australia. That's sad. Bus driver breaks silence. Covered that. Conservatives ban men's rights advocate from Higgins panel. It's not worth. You don't want to know about that. Fears for trapped gold. There's some trapped gold miners in Ballarat in Melbourne. Reality bites as revenues tip to slow. Not interested. Albanese peace of mind. Covered that. Offshore wind plans blow up too late and too expensive. Victoria's offshore wind towers are likely to take longer to meet and be significantly more expensive than the state government has predicted, according to multiple energy industry experts. With one warning, offshore wind will certainly be more expensive than almost every other alternative energy source. Hotels in fight over pop-up brothels. Oh, hoteliers have warned a planned overhaul of Queensland prostitution laws will strip business owners of their right to deny rooms to sex workers and allow pop-up brothels in the state's hotels and motels. Can't read that, it's too boring, so I'm nearly falling asleep. Farmers exit over unethical treatment. Fruit and vegetable growers are leaving the industry because unethical supermarket giants are not paying them enough to cover the costs of producing food. And poor regulations mean farmers are too scared to bargain for a better price. Dozens of fruit growers in Victoria have sold their properties in the past 3 years, and the sector's representative body expects the exodus will increase dramatically over the next 12 months if the government does not act to end the supermarket stranglehold over producers. They're all cunts, aren't they, the big supermarket chains? Yeah, I still go to them. I should go to the little private, little family-run places, but I don't. So, Dale, make a fucking... Do it. Louise, can we go to the small places now, please? Lots of stuff about Indigenous Australia there. I want to read it because I don't want to seem like I'm sort of like ignoring the thing, but I just can't be bothered. And I haven't been bothered to read a lot of the other stuff. Bosses oppose union work from home push. We've covered that already. This has been news a week ago that employers are unhappy with the union push to grant new rights to millions of workers who request to work from home. Something about the man who ran his wife over. The cyclist stays silent at court over the death of Olympian wife. The world champion cyclist charged with the shocking alleged death of his wife and fellow world-class athlete Melissa Hoskins has fronted court for the first time. He apparently ran her over in December last year. I can't read that. Scientists over the moon. I can't read that either. It's something about Mars. It's like about scientists that have been taking samples, drilled down samples of sediment from somewhere. It's so boring. You're not interested in it, trust me. Biden, Trump confirmed for 2024 rematch. We know that. Something about exiled Navalny ally attacked in Lithuania. There's a guy called Leonid Volkov, a close ally of the late Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny, who was, the Bruce Lee one punch fucking kill because he was walking around in the car. That's utter bullshit. Was assaulted outside his home. I can't read it. Man gets assaulted. Oh, Polanski faces LA trial for 1973 case. Remember Roman Polanski that everyone fucking lauds in Hollywood? You get people like Meryl Streep stand up and say how amazing Roman Polanski is, who's raped children. Oscar-winning director Roman Polanski, who is currently entangled in a defamation trial in Paris, will face trial next year in the US over allegations of raping a minor in 1973. Lawyer Gloria Allred, who has represented the victims of Jeffrey Epstein, Bill Cosby, and former US President Donald Trump, confirmed in a press conference in Los Angeles on Tuesday that a judge has set Polanski's trial for August 25. The plaintiff, introduced as Jane Doe, alleges that Polanski, now 90, raped her in 1973 when she was underage at his home in Benedict Canyon. According to the lawsuit, the plaintiff had met Polanski at a party months before the alleged assault. What was the fucking underage girl doing at a party anyway? Polanski invited her to dinner at the Los Angeles restaurant, Le Restaurant, where he allegedly gave her shots of tequila and then drove her to his house where she passed out on his bed. A plaintiff remembers waking up in the defendant's bed with him lying in the bed next to her. The lawsuit states he told her that he wanted to have sex with her. Plaintiff, though groggy, told defendant no. She told him, please don't do this. Anyway, and then there's also Polanski observed with the lawsuit at his home in Paris. Polanski's lawyers have strenuously denied the claim he would not have to attend the civil trial in person but could appear via video live stream. The filing of the complaint comes as Polanski faces a trial in Paris over allegations that he defamed British actor Charlotte Lewis, 56, who he accused of disseminating an odious lie after she alleged that he raped her in 1983 when she was 16 years old. What a fucking piece of shit. Something about rebel raids deep inside Russia. Some pro-Ukrainian Russians have done something in Russia. Tensions rise as Israel-Hezbollah exchange fire. Hostilities flare between Israel and Hezbollah. Militia threatening to broaden Israel's war to its northern border amid an impasse in negotiations to reach ceasefire. Hezbollah launched about 100 Katyusha rockets at northern Israel on Tuesday, the heaviest barrage since the war in Gaza began against Hamas, an ally of the Lebanese group 5 months ago. Hezbollah said its rockets were a response to an Israeli airstrike on Monday night in Baalbek in northeastern Lebanon. Israel retaliated later on Tuesday. Fucking, it's obvious the aggressor is. Bibi threatens dramatic confrontation. Benjamin Netanyahu's reacted furiously to a US intelligence assessment that warns the Israeli prime minister's hold on office may be in jeopardy, warning of a public blow. Anyway, he is basically saying there that the US is kind of putting him under pressure, but he doesn't really give a fuck anyway. And let's be honest, when you look at Benjamin Netanyahu and President Biden, one of them can barely fucking remember his name and the other one is just like the devil. So I wouldn't think Bibi could give two fucks, considering that probably half of the US political system is populated by dual US and Israeli citizens or Jewish people. I would say that Benjamin Netanyahu probably does what the fuck he likes. That's the end of that. Turn the page. Nothing left. That's it. How shit. Pressing the stop button. Bye.